It's nothing like the presence of the Lord, is there? What would we do without His presence? Amen? Everybody say, tell somebody around you, man, I got to have His presence. Man, I never would have thought from all those years we'd be sitting here tonight, we'd be playing. Thank you, Jesus. For those of you that don't know, Jennifer was in my youth group. That's how old I am. She was real young. Praise God. She got to hear, you know, like they always told me when you were a youth pastor, that no youth could listen for more than 20 minutes. No kid could listen for more than 20 minutes in attention span. She knows I preached an hour, hour and a half to all of them, and there was no way that anybody was getting out of there, man. I was preaching, preaching, preaching. So she got all those days. So anyway, praise God. Well, get your Bibles out. Woo! I want you to go to the book of Exodus 33. And I want to share something with you that God just dropped in my heart right now. So, it was really awesome tonight, Jennifer. You brought the presence of God in here, and that's all that matters, is the presence of the Lord in worship. That's all I'm ever looking for. And it's amazing to me how much God loves us, and that we don't really think He does. You know what I'm saying? How far God will go. And some of you will enjoy this story, but because you know what I'm talking about. Others of you just enjoy this story because it's a good story. But today I was at work, and I was down south, and there was a young man supposed to bring me a 2-inch PVC cap so I could cap off a pipe, and he forgot it. And so, you know, you're down there, and there's not much down there. And so I was kind of a little miffed at the guy that he forgot the part for me, and now I'm stuck down there. So I told the guys, well, y'all just go on and start doing it. I said, I'll just go into Crystal City and see if I can find a 2-inch cap. And so, you know, anyway, I don't know Crystal City that well, but I do know where there's this one place that sells PVC parts. But the person I'm working for, this probably doesn't need to be on a tape. You're going to have to probably edit all of this out and just chop it all off, but anyway, he got crossways with this company, the only company that sells parts, and so I had to go in there. I was kind of hoping nobody would recognize me, you know? It's like, okay, no. But I needed this cap. And so I go in there, and I can't find them, and I can't look, you know, and I'm going back there, and I finally find the place, and I get a phone call, and I'm talking on the phone, and all this time, and then I'm trying to find the glue, and I can't find the glue, and I'm walking all around the place looking for the glue, and, you know, so I'm in there longer than any normal human being should have been in this place, is what I'm saying. And as I rounded the corner, I mean, I just round the corner of the counter, and standing right in front of me, I just look, and I'm like, I know this person. And then I just said, Jeff? And it was Jeff O'Quinn. Those of y'all that remember Kay and Jeff O'Quinn? I have not seen him in maybe 15, 18 years. They were faithful people here in the church, came here. They have the record for driving the longest. They would drive 2 hours one direction to come here to church. And faithful people, and they were here, and she was killed in a head-on car accident. And I did the funeral and everything, and I hadn't seen the family since then. They all kind of just went here and there, and it was just the weirdest thing, and I'm thinking, I would not have had this encounter had this young man forgot to bring me my 2-inch cap. So when I got back on the job, I told the young man, because he was feeling a little bad, you know, he didn't want to disappoint me or whatever. And so I told him, I said, hey, dude, I just want you to know this morning, no matter how far off you thought you were this morning and how much you thought you probably missed God, I just want you to know, man, you were right on this morning by forgetting to bring that PVC cap. And he's like, "That's..." And I said, man, I went down there to the store and I told him, I said, I met a guy I hadn't seen in 18 years. It was so God that I was there. And I thought to myself, I stopped and I thought about the vastness of how could this even have been arranged? You know what I'm saying? The vastness of that meeting to be there at that time. And I was just like, and I got out in my truck and it brought tears to my eyes. And I said, man, God, you know, I did not wake up this morning praying, God, I just thank you. Today's the day. I can feel it down in my bones. A divine appointment's about to happen. You know, I mean, there's none of that. I was trying to get work done. My prayer this morning was, God, let everybody show up and let the guy bring the 2-inch can. You know what I'm saying? And there it was, it's boom. And we reconnected after all these years, and I just know, and he told me, he says, yeah, my daughter's had looked you up and has listened to you on iTunes. And so I'm like, wow. You know, it was just an amazing encounter, but I was just really blown away by how God had orchestrated this. There was no sign. There was no wonder. There was no, this morning I woke up and I said, oh, I feel that, you know, God is leading me to Crystal City to. You see what I'm saying? There was none of that. Just walk into it, round the corner, boom. God just made a connection. And so that morning I had read a scripture that I'm going to get to in a minute. And then I saw how that scripture really fit into what happened. But at the moment when I read the scripture this morning, hey, man, that's a good scripture, Lord. I like that scripture. Wrote it down, man. I confessed it, you know. But I never did realize, and I still don't think we do, the magnitude of how much God loves us and how he wants to just work in our lives. And it's like if your heart is right and you're humble, God will just get you where you need to be. You know, if you just keep walking and serving him, he'll get you to where you need to be. Because there was no way this morning, no preacher could have ever prayed up what happened, and I had heard and gone down there, you know, totally led by the Spirit of God. So now let me change. That was a good story. And so I think all of y'all for praying for it, and I give you a good report. My daughter's doing better. Laura's still out there with her. She's still on bed rest, but she went and got a good report from the doctors today that said that her contractions were lessening and everything looked good, but they still have her on bed rest. And so she'd had some infections that they were dealing with and that they were clear. And so, but Laura's still going to be out there another couple of weeks. And so thank y'all for your prayers. Thank y'all for all that. And I really had no trouble, like I expected, going through the airports and the things of this nature. Matter of fact, when I left Vegas airport going into California, they just took me through the line like I was the head guy around there. And I'll tell you a funny story about that. Let me just tell you. I got a couple of stories here, but they'll be good. So I went right there into the airport. Out of Vegas, and I forgot to take my pocket knife out. And so I've learned, I just travel with cheap pocket knives. I have just a stash of, you know, no more than $5 pocket knives. And you can sharpen them. They're good about one time, you know, and that's about it. But at least I feel like I have something. And so I walked in. I'd already checked my bag in, and I walked in. I was like, oh, gosh, I forgot to take my pocket knife out. And so I thought, well, it's Christmas time. And so I walked outside, and I was standing there. I said, okay, who's going to get it, Lord? You know, who's going to get it? Who's going to get it? And so I looked at this guy, and I said, hey, sir, sir. And he just ignored me and walked off. And I was like, well, you ain't getting it. And there was this other man who thought that maybe I was talking to him, you know. And he saw, and he says, sir, can I help you? And I said, yeah, come here. And he came over there, and I said, here, I just want to give you, Merry Christmas. And I gave him the pocket knife. He's like, excuse me? And I said, well, they're going to take it from me on the inside, so I'm not going to let them take it. I'm going to give it to you. So I'm just sowing that into your life. I'm just giving, just have a Merry Christmas. And this guy was so excited over this pocket knife. And so he was so happy. And so I thought, well, that's good. We're starting off everything good. And then I walked in, I sowed, and I reaped when I walked inside because they just acted like I was like some Hollywood star. I walked right through the line. Never took my hat off, never took my boots off, walked right through the line, just said, yes, sir, how are you doing? Have a good day. And I walked on. I was like, did I just clear it through that? I mean, hurry, run, so nobody sees. So anyway, I did really well. I didn't have any problems there, but I did have an altercation on the streets of Vegas, and if you can believe this, it was with a street preacher. And I got mad because this guy was not preaching the Jesus I know. And it just rose up on the inside of me. I couldn't take it. I went back and I jumped on him. And I wasn't nice at all. I was ugly. And so, which brings me to the message. Because there's something on the inside of all of us that has to be there, okay? We have got to this day, if we're going to see revival come to our land, we have to have a true revival. And the true revival's got to be based off the love of God. And the love of God is what's got to be preached. All right? And let's look at this in Exodus 33 here, in verse 12. It says, then Moses said to the Lord, see, you say to me, bring up this people, but you've not let me know whom you will send with me. And you have said, I know your name, and you have also found, and I found grace in your sight. Now therefore I pray, if I have found grace in your sight, show me now your way, that I may know you, and that I may find grace in your sight, and consider that this nation is your people. And he said, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. Man, what a statement. My presence shall go with you, and I will give you rest. My presence shall go with you, and I will give you rest. We've got to see a time where people come that they understand the presence of God. And they're never going to understand the presence of God unless they can understand the love of God. I can tell you the answer to all of your problems, all of your situations in life, is the presence of God. If you can learn to get into the presence of God, if you can learn to worship yourself into the presence of God, or pray yourself into the presence of God, or read yourself into the presence of God, or wake up, like this morning, I was in the presence of God. I woke up, I'd done my prayer time, I had done my reading, I was prepared for the day, I knew God was with me, I had good conversation with him, we had talked back and forth, I was in his presence, right? But I wasn't expecting what happened. You know, I had no word that he was lining up a divine appointment for me, you know. But the point is that if we learn to be in his presence and learn to habitually walk in the presence of God, learn to habitually, I mean, it's like we can't live without his presence. We cannot go anywhere without his presence. We cannot go and do and function anywhere without us having a talk with God and knowing that we're still hearing from heaven. I want to tell you something. We're in trouble if we're not. We can't face this world and all the things that are out there in the world and what all the craziness that's going on out there without having his presence with us. You know what I'm saying? Because when your presence, you can be mad and God's presence will still be with you. If you have that understanding. See, a lot of people, they think, well, God doesn't love me anymore. He's because I'm acting ugly, God's not with me. And so that, you know, therefore, he's not with, his presence in here. And I'm telling you, that's from the pit of hell. That is a demonic thought. We can't even fathom how much God loves us. We cannot even, there's no way that in human English, I can tell you tonight how much God loves you and wants to move in your life and wants to bless you and wants to give to you and wants to pour his grace upon you and wants to pour his mercy upon you, wants you to just, and you say, well, yeah, if I was doing everything right. That's religious mentality. Religion is what has taught us that we have to perform before God loves us. Are y'all with me? Moses here was no man, well, no perfect man. He was not even saved like we are saved today. Think about that. He was not saved and indwelt in the presence of, I mean, he was not in, they had the Spirit of God indwelling in him, nor was he washed in the blood of Jesus like we are. Yet God says, you know, Moses, I chose you and I want to put my presence is going to go with you all the time. That was Moses. He said, oh, Moses was a great man. Moses wasn't full of the Holy Ghost. Hear me now. Moses didn't have the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit sitting on him like you do today. I don't know this to be true. This is maybe a Robert Richards something. But I think when you get to heaven, that people like Moses are going to want to come up and talk to you and ask you how it was when you worshiped God in here and felt His presence. That's going to be freaky. When Abraham walks up to you and says, "Man, Dixie, what was it like to be there and to worship and feel the presence of God and Him speak to you like that? What was it like?" Because they didn't experience it like you did. All right? So He says here, then He said, if your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. For how then will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight except you go with us? Man, I just got a whole other message right there. It's not for tonight, but that's a good one. I got to write this down. This is to be continued. Excuse me, but that's worth writing down. And y'all get to hear it later. Wow. How then will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight except that you go up with us? So we shall be separate from your people and I from the people who are upon the face of the earth. So the Lord said to Moses, I will do this thing that you have spoken, for you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name. And he said, please show me your glory. And then he said, I will make all my, what's that word? What is it? All my goodness pass before you. He didn't say he's going to make his wrath pass before me. He didn't say he was going to make his power pass before me. He didn't say he's going to make his strong right arm of God pass before you. He said, I'll make my goodness pass before you. Do you know people do not serve God because they do not think He is good? Religion has preached a message that God only loves those who do everything right, and they're never going to be able to do things right, so therefore God doesn't really love them. And the world does not serve God because they do not know His goodness. His goodness. So He said, I'm going to let my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you, and I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will have compassion to whom I will have compassion. And he said, you cannot see my face, no man can see me and live. And the Lord said, here is a place in me that you shall stand on the rock. And it shall be that when my glory passes by, that I will put you in the cleft of the rock and will cover you with my hand while I pass by. Then I will take away my hand and you shall see my back, but my face you shall not see. Right in that cleft of the rock with, what is it, God's hand over it. How many scriptures are there about God saying He's going to hold our hand? Just think about that. He's got you in the cleft of the rock. He's got His hand over it because He doesn't want anything to happen to you. The hand of the Almighty God on you? Because I'm preaching to another scripture. Y'all just stay with me here, okay? This isn't the end. This is just the hors d'oeuvre. The hand of the Almighty God on you? He's covered you? The God that creates heavens, the heavens and the earth and all therein? The God that measures the heavens by the span of His hand? The God that can hold all the seas, all the water in the world right in the palm of His hand? The God that's just, the nations are nothing but just one drop in a bucket? That God? Has His hand on you? That's why Paul says, if God be for us, who in the world could be against us? Only one that can talk us out from under the hand of God is us. John 10:29 says, man, you're in the palm of the Father's hand and nothing can take you out of His hand. But why do we let the enemy take us out? Why do we let our thoughts go outside of that? Why do we let Him come into our minds, take us into that place where we think God's hand's not on us? And it's because of religion. It's because of wrong teaching. It's because we don't know the truth. That's why I got mad at this street preacher, because he wasn't preaching the truth. He was preaching a God who's going to fry everybody. And he just shouldn't have said anything to me. Little did he know that I mean, and it's so bad because I was ready to beat this guy, and that's not right. But I was ready to just anything I could do to make him be quiet. And what was so funny is I was just minding my own business, walking down the street, headed over to a restaurant to go eat, just not ever thinking anything in the world. And when he said something, man, it flew up on the inside of me. Wah! I was like, that's it. And as always, my wife saved me. But what I'm saying to you is the world hears that. And that's what the world's concept of God is. You either perform or get fried. You either perform or, you know, or bad things are going to happen to you. And, you know, bad things can happen to you when you're walking in the presence of God because you live in a fallen world. But what I'm saying here is that it's God's goodness, God's love, God's mercy, God's grace that people have to see. That's the revelation we have to walk in. That God's goodness and His mercy and His grace is upon us, and that each and every day is abounding towards us and abounding upon us and abounding in us, and He's just wanting to pour love and wanting to pour. I mean, it makes a big difference when you wake up in the morning and think that God is for you, not against you. Okay? He goes on. Let's go to 34:1. And the Lord said to Moses, cut two tablets of stone like the first one, write on the tablets the words that were on the first tablets which you broke. So be ready in the morning and come up in the morning to the mountain on Mount Sinai and present yourself to there on top of the mountain. And no man shall come up with you. Let no man be seen through the rocks. So it goes on down. Verse 5. Now the Lord descended in a cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. The Lord passed by and proclaimed, the Lord, God, merciful, gracious, long-suffering, abounding in goodness and truth. I mean, look at the descriptive words that were God was saying about himself. Folks, if we serve a God of anger, serve a God of wrath, serve a God who's like religion has preached, then he would not have said that. It would be written in there, a God who will get you when you do wrong. A God who will not tolerate your ignorance. A God who will not put up with your weakness. But he said he's a God, merciful, gracious, long-suffering, abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquities. Look at this. Mercy, forgiveness, grace, long-suffering, goodness, truth. You see, you cannot enter God's presence if you take the attitude of, well, God, why is this happening to me? Well, I didn't, you know, I know I did, you know, but what? You enter God's presence by stopping and saying, you know, Lord, I love you. You're so amazing. You're so gracious. You're so merciful. You're long-suffering. I know that's what's abounding towards me today. I know that your thoughts towards me today. Yes, I shouldn't have done what I did. I understand and ask you to forgive me. Wash me. Cleanse me in the blood of Jesus. Lord, all I want to do is be here with you. Whew. Presence of God's come in. One of the worst things you can ever do in life is play what if. Okay, if you start playing what if, or what if, what if, what if, what if this would happen, it's no good. It bears no fruit. What you need is to understand who God is and what His position and His face towards you is. And I can tell y'all, and I've had people tell me, you know, Robert, you're just being arrogant. I'm telling you, God loves me. I know God loves me. I don't know God loves me because I'm a pastor or God loves me because I do everything right. I know God loves me because his word says he loves me. Are y'all with me? I know when I wake up in the morning, I'm saying, God, I know that today when I wake up, no matter what's going on outside, no matter what's happening, no matter how I feel, no matter what's taking place, God, I just thank you that you love me. You're for me today. I know you're for me, God. Today you're for me. The world may want to kill me. Everybody else may want to kill me. Everybody may want to just be mad and beat me. But I'm telling you what, God, you love me. And it's amazing that the God, the only one that really matters, God Almighty, the creator of heaven and earth, he loves me. And folks, that revelation brings the presence of God in your life. You can sit around and say, oh, I wouldn't have been in this situation if I'd have done that. If I wish I'd have done this, and if I'd have done that, well, then maybe this wouldn't have happened or that. You can go play that game all day long, but you better get into the part where you stop and say, God, I just know you love me. I'm so glad you love me. No matter what's going on, God, I'm glad you love me because I know that you love me. Oof. It's all that matters. Okay, now I'm going to give you the message. Go to the Gospel of John. Chapter 16. Now, in John chapter 16, you know, verses 5 through 15, it's all talking about that he's going to send the Holy Spirit to us and he's going to come down here. He's going to show us things. He's going to be with us. He's going to guide us. He's going to lead us into all truth. He's going to speak what he hears from heaven. It says all these great things. And then you go on over into verse 25. And it says, these things I have spoken to you in a figurative language, but the time has come that when I will no longer speak to you in a figurative language, but I will tell you plainly about the Father. Okay, think what he's saying here. It's just like, you know, Jesus, a lot of times he spoke in parables, and when he spoke in parables, everybody's saying, what? A sower went out to sow, and he sowed something, and they're like, what are you talking about? And Jesus said he spoke in parables because he was doing it because he wanted people that were truly hungry to come. I want to tell you something. If you're hungry for God and the things of God, God will always be with you, and you'll always see signs and wonders and miracles in your life. If you're not hungry from God, if you're just like your life's going along and you've got God over here on the sidelines just in case you get in trouble, well, you're not going to see much happen in life because you're living your life by your life. Your standards, you're putting yourself in the center of your whole core instead of God in the center of your whole core, and what's going to happen is you're just, however good you are, that's what kind of life you're going to have. But I know me, and I know I'm not good enough to do that, all right? And so he's saying here, he said, I'm not going to speak to you anymore in parables. I'm just going to tell you plainly, but what I'm going to tell you plainly about is one thing that you got to understand. I'm going to explain to you, I'm going to explain you the Father. Now, everything I've said tonight leads up to this because Jesus himself was saying, you got to understand the position the Father is thinking towards you. Okay? So, I know the answer to this question, but y'all just play along with me here. How many in here, raise your hand, you say, I know I'm saved. I know Jesus is my Lord and Savior. Okay? All right, look at the person beside you so that they raise their hand and you know they're going. Okay. Okay. So, since you know that and everybody, you lift your hands, let's read the next part of this verse. If I put my glasses on. He said, I want to tell you plainly about the Father. In that day, you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I have prayed the Father for you. Now, you know how sometimes when you got to be careful when you read. I maybe could read a different translation here. You know, sometimes it says, and say not that, you know, and it goes off, and you have to kind of figure out, well, is he saying not, or is he saying, y'all with me? Have y'all ever run across that before? Like, I've had to do major studies before to say, are you saying to do this or not to do this? Because I don't understand that kind of speech. You know, you got to go find the Living Bible translation or something so you can understand what he's saying. But as I'm reading this here, and y'all correct me, you know, but if I'm wrong here, but he's saying, I do not say to you that I pray the Father for you. In other words, Jesus is saying, look, I want you to understand this revelation. I want you to plainly understand what the Father is saying. I'm not going to have to intercede to the Father for you. Look what he says. For the Father himself loves you. Now think about it. What he's saying, he said, look, this is Jesus, the Son of God, sitting at the right hand of the throne of God, and he's saying to the Son, look, I'm not going to speak figuratively to you anymore. I'm just going to talk to you plain English. Here it is. I don't have to talk to Daddy anymore for you because he loves you. Just think about what he's saying. He's saying, the position of the Father directed towards you is that he loves you. So why are you questioning? Can you go ask him anything? It's like my son. He's left, so I can talk about it. He calls me. We just left. We just left to leave. And we're headed down the road. And he calls me. And he says, hey, Dad, I was wondering, is it okay if I borrow your truck while you're gone? And I said, yeah, sure, whatever you need, go ahead. And he says, yeah, that's good. He said, I was just driving down the road, and I thought I ought to ask you. I said, you sorry, sucker, you already took my truck. Now you're calling me, you know. And I just started laughing about it. But what else but a son would do that? You know what I'm saying? What else but a son would do that? He knows his position as my son, and he knows all that I have is his. And so he's born it, but then he thought, Al, I better call him, ask him if it's okay. As he's driving, he's already down the road. And I thought about that. It kind of, it hit me at the time. It blessed me because I'm like, man, that is how God the Almighty is looking at you. He's already saying, well, Jesus says, I don't want you to understand. Listen, I'm not going to speak to you. I'm just going to speak to you plainly. Listen, I don't have to intercede for anymore. God loves you. Now, but look why. He clarifies it anymore. Because. Everybody say because. You have loved me. You all said you got saved. You all knew you're saved. You all made Jesus as your Lord. You said you believed in him. That activated the love of God for you. And have believed that I came forth from God. For the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came forth from God. Jesus said, let me back up a minute and say it again. He said, I don't want to speak to you in parables. I want you to plainly understand this. God loves you. He loves you because you love me. That's all you need to know. I mean, Jesus like based his whole life in ministry right there on those words and said, okay, I'm through. Daddy, you can take me home now. You see how to understand that revelation of the love of God, why the devil would want to pervert every form of everything to get people not to believe that, because if they're not believing God loves them and is there for them, if they're living a life on a treadmill of performance is only the way they're going to be loved, well then the devil has won the battle, because God Almighty wants to pour his goodness and mercy and grace out upon you. But if you're not believing, he's not going to violate your free will. And all you got to do is ask yourself, am I saved? If I die today, am I know I'm going to go to heaven? Yeah, I'm pretty sure I am. Thank you, Lord. God's love is directed towards you. It does not say that you performed. It says that because you believe in Jesus. You can take that full assurance down into your heart that when you wake up in the morning, God still loves you. When you do something wrong, when you get mad and do something wrong, God still loves you. Listen, I want to tell you something. If people say, well, Pastor, you got to be careful because you don't want to be preaching cheap grace. Listen, if you're stupid enough to go out and want to do wrong, just knowing that when you wake up in the morning, God's still going to love you? Well, I don't know what to say to you. You got issues. The knowing that God Almighty loves me makes me want to continue to do right. But I'm human and I've got flesh and I don't always do right. I don't always have the right thought towards people. And, you know, I mean, I'm one thing you know about me, I repent and I'm easy to confess my sin. I mean, I'd beat that street preacher if I could have. And it's wrong. But that was my thought. Are y'all with me? But God still loves me. You follow me? This revelation right here is what revival is based on. Getting people to understand this revelation. Really, that should be what Christmas is based on. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, right? That whosoever believed in Him would not perish. And we're not going to perish because God loves them, but have everlasting life. So, with all that said, what else can we say to it? What else can we add to it? What else is there? You know what I mean? It's just getting it. You got to fight and get that truth down in you. And you need to find any place in your life that you're not walking in that revelational truth. You need to root it out. And if this is hard for you to accept tonight, that God loves you and this is the way it is, then you need to get the scripture down on there and you need to tell yourself every morning, let's see, now wait a minute. Do I believe the word is true or not? Is my Bible correct or not? Well, that's what God's love says and that's what He says. So God, if You said it and You made up the rules, then I'm just going to have to believe it and walk in it. Amen? So the next time you tell somebody, you know, God loves you, explain to them why. He loves you and, you know, cares about the world. He wants you to accept Jesus. And when you believe in Him, whew, His love's all poured out going your way. Amen? So, praise God. Glory to God. Peace on earth and goodwill towards all men. Well, Bill, help us. Let's take up our offering tonight. Praise God. So, what is there? 10 days left of Christmas shopping?